class today. Acts chapter 7, a big chapter, a big sermon he's got here to preach. Let's open with prayer. Father, thank you for the afternoon. Thank you for thy word. And I ask that you would use it to encourage us and direct us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let's read some verses here. Mrs. Grummer, we'll start with you with verse 1, and then we'll go to Faith, and then Jacob, and then Bill. All right, and Mrs. Grummer.
Dan said the high priest, or these things so. And he said, brethren and fathers, listen, the God of glory, the years of our father Abraham, when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran.
And said unto him, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans, and dwelt in Charan, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell.
And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on it, yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child.
And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage, and entreat them evil 400 years.
And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, saith God, and after that they shall come forth and serve me in this place.
And he gave him the covenant of circumcision, and so Abraham begat Isaac, and circumcised him the eighth day, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. Alright, so we see here the question that's being asked by the high priest. The high priest asks, is the one that asks the question, are these things so? They are responding to Stephen, and they're becoming upset with him. But Mrs. Grummer, want to do question two, please? Number two, Mrs. Grummer.
One or two?
Two.
Okay. When did the God of glory appear before Abraham in Mesopotamia?
That's right. When we have here Stephen giving a recount of history of Jewish, a little bit of Jewish history from going back to Abraham down to the present time where he was living, and so this was going on here. So he's giving a good overview of history. We see here that God appears to Abraham in Mesopotamia, and so the Lord told Abraham to go to a land he was going to show him. That's what he was going to do. So Abraham had to leave there, and he went to the land where he was going to show him. Ultimately, Abraham came. He went to Haran's to stay in Haran for a small time, period of time, until his father-in-law died. Father died, and then he came down to the land of Israel, where he was now. But Faith, question number four, please.
You want me to read the question number
yes,
four?
Yes, that's right. Question number four is from.
He came out of the land of Chaldeans his own parents, from there where his father said he went to the land which he knew well. What's the question?
The question number four is from whose land did Abraham come? It's like a three-part question. When did Abraham leave Haran, and into what land did he enter?
Oh, I see. He left when his father was dead. He was from where the child was, and then
now we're going to
be able to shoot.
All right. Now. Pardon me?
Safe.
Okay. And so, the promise that God made Abraham was that he would give him a possession. And this promise was given when Abraham had no children. So, in verse 5. Jacob, are you in number 6, please?
For how long did God tell Abraham his seed would be in a strange land, and to what would his seed be brought? He would sojourn in a strange land, and they should bring them into bondage and treat them evil 400 years. Yeah, 400 years would be the first part. And into that land is the second part. Into a strange land would be Egypt.
Okay, so they're going to be in bond. They're going to be in bondage for 400 years, right? That's what we said, right, Jacob?
Yes, for 400 years.
Into bondage. That's when they were going down to Egypt, and we see that they were there for 400 years. Now, as far as verse 7 is concerned, what was going to become of the nation that held them in bondage? Well, God was going to judge that nation of Egypt. Judgment was going to come upon them. We know we're familiar with the judgment that will come upon Egypt, the plagues and so forth. And they were going to come and leave that land of Egypt and come and serve God in the land of Canaan. Go on to number 8, please.
On what day was Isaac circumcised? And 2, what did Isaac beget? The first part is the 8th day, and the second part is Jacob.
Jacob. So let's read verses 9 the following. Barbara, pick up with verse 9, please.
And the patriarch moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him.
And delivered him out of all his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house.
Now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt, and came in great affliction, and their fathers found no sustenance.
But when Jacob heard that there was corn to eat, he sent out our fathers first.
And at the second time, Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known to Pharaoh. Okay, Mrs. Grummer?
Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him and all his kindred, 70 souls.
So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers.
In faith?
Okay, what verse am I at now?
16. Go to me, verse 16, though. Thank you, Faith.
And were carried over into Sychem and laid in the sepulchre that Abraham bought for a sum of money of the sons of Amor, the father of Sychem.
All right, so we notice in here that this prophecy, Stephen again is giving a good history. Like we know this history by reading the book of Genesis and the book of Exodus and other parts of Scripture, the history. Well, he's reviewing this with these people here, the council. The council is becoming more and more upset with him because they're upset with the gospel. They're upset with the fact that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and they don't want to accept that. They're completely against that, and so they're being expressing their anger towards Joseph. Is that everything going up? Pick okay back there, Anna, with the rain. Good. Now, so when we see the patriarchs, meaning his brother, there were 12 brothers. There was 11 brothers. But there were 12 sons that Jacob had. And we see that these brothers, Benjamin wasn't necessarily one of the ones, but the other brothers sold him in Egypt. I mean, Reuben wasn't there, but we know that the brothers that were there, they made a deal. Eventually, they sold him into Egypt. Directly or indirectly, he was sold into Egypt. Now, but we notice that God was with him. Now, let me see. Barbara, you want to do number 10, please?
In whose sight did Joseph receive favor, and who was made governor over Egypt? Joseph received favor in the sight of Pharaoh, and Joseph was made governor over Egypt.
Okay, so that's right. So God was with Joseph, and again, Stephen is emphasizing the fact that the involvement that God has had in these people's lives, the patriarchs' lives, and he's getting to the point of, you know, ultimately the Messiah comes from the line of Judah. And so, during this time that Joseph was in Egypt, there came a dearth. Or we know it as sometimes it's referred to as the famine came. But before, as we know, and we know that before the famine came, God gave, this is Stephen, they had not mentioned this in his sermon here, but we know from studying the Old Testament, and Stephen knew it too, but that there was the famine. But there was before there was famine, there was a dream. Pharaoh had a dream. And so he knew the 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. But here, in verse 11, we see that Stephen speaks about the great dearth that comes over not only Egypt, but over all the surrounding countries around Egypt. And there was no sustenance found whatsoever in this area. And so, Mom, verse 12, please.
But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out his father's curse.
All right, so Jacob had heard that there was this corn in Egypt. There was food in Egypt, and so when he discovered that we need food, he sent his sons to get the food. And so ultimately, we see that Joseph, his father, after a short amount of time, we see that he's introduced to Pharaoh. We have 7 years of plenty, and all of a sudden we have 7 years of famine. It doesn't take much long, it doesn't take too long for Jacob to learn this corn in Egypt. After two trips there, we see that he is introduced to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And Tammy, number 14, please.
How many kings did Jacob have?
75. That's how many that came. So again, I'm going to think of how many came in versus how many came out. The number that came out 400 years later, about 400 years later, was 600,000 men. Besides the women, and besides the women and children. And so we see here that Stephen reminds his council that Jacob and his fathers, they all died there in the land of Egypt. They all died there. And number 16, please.
From Emor,
Shechem's
father.
Okay. That's right. Let's pick up with 17. Mrs. Grummer, 17, please. And in faith, you could read 18 and Jacob 19. 17.
Are they on mute?
I don't know. I don't see their mouths moving. Moving?
We don't usually see their mouths moving anyway, do we?
Are you still there, Jacob? How about you, Faith? You there?
I'm here.
I go to verse 17.
When the entire promised tree near was found by David, people grow multiplied in Egypt, so another king arose who did not know Joseph.
All right, Bill number 18.
So another king arose which knew not Joseph.
The same dealt subtly with our kindred as evil and treated our father so that they cast out their young children to the end that they might not live.
Verse 29.
20?
Yes.
In which time Moses was born and was exceedingly fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months.
And 21.
And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son.
Anna.
And Moses was born in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds.
And when he was fully 4 years old, he came to this earth to visit his brethren of the children of Israel. All right, so, Mrs. Grummer, question number 17, please.
Number what?
17.
Where did the seed and Abraham grow and multiply Egypt?
Good.
I didn't get that one. Let me see.
That's the correct question, Mrs. Grummer.
Okay, yeah, I got it right.
They grew and they multiplied in the land of Egypt. And so after a while, as we remember from Scripture, and we remember,
it should say seed of Abraham.
Yes, it should. You're right. It should say that. There was a... I'm glad you're helping me proofread that.
Yes. Part of Mrs. Garner's confusion.
Yes, I understand. I do understand. Come on, go ahead.
I'm interested in this word cast out. The footnote says it means exposed.
Okay.
And the same dealt subtly with our children, evil and treated our fathers. And they, so that they, I guess, were exposed. Very young children, they had very well lived.
That's 19. But that's what they did with the ancient babies in the old times. They laid them out.
Wait, it's really? So why did they Greek?
Oh, really?
Wait.
Oh. 19 was on 19.
Why did they say in the Greek, but this is Hebrew?
What's the word we're going
to cast out their young means that they were let out to die on an exposed place. It's what the Greeks did. It's what the Romans did. It's what they did in the ancient world to get rid of babies.
Yeah, I thought so too.
And so.
It's used in 21 too, and when he was cast out, exposed, Pharaoh's daughter took him up in her room. So that would be lying there.
Well.
No, I think we have to look at the Old Testament.
There was that. Remember when they wanted them to? The order was given for all the male children to be destroyed and to be killed. You know, and so it's possible that they could have cast them out. I mean, I understand the idea of the custom and so forth, but they were to kill them. They could have, sometimes in some cultures, maybe not the Egyptian culture, they would throw them in the river.
I don't think that's why Moses' mother put him in the river.
He didn't. Moses' mother didn't put him in the river.
Moses' mother made a basket.
By himself.
Yeah.
She put him in the river inside of a basket. The ark, the basket.
So that's sort of interesting. It was a custom of just when your children were
going to die. No, it wasn't a custom. Well, apart from any custom, there was a mandate given by Pharaoh, and he said, you know, these Hebrews, they're outnumbering us, there's far too many of them, and if we don't do something like population control, when the enemy comes and invades the country, they're going to take their side and overrun us. And so he wanted to put a stop to population growth. And so, Barbara.
But how it was done was they had places where they accepted the babies they didn't want.
Okay.
And that's what this is. They cast out their young children.
Okay.
They put them on a place where they were exposed so that they would die of exposure and neglect.
So were they basically what they do in some
but that's ancient history.
What they do in some clinics today, when the abortions not doesn't succeed, they just like leave the baby on the table
right.
and walk away.
It was same difference.
You know.
Yes, that's right.
And so.
That's interesting.
But the ultimate command was that, and the reason the midwives said, you know, when the midwives were confronted. When the midwives were confronted with this, they says, well, how come you're not doing what I told you to do? And they says, well, the Egyptian women are worse this very lively. They're not like the Egyptian women who take a long time to give birth. The labor isn't quite as extensive as the Egyptian women. They deliver quickly. Anna, go ahead.
All his people, saying, every son that is born, you shall pass into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. So it seems like the command of the Pharaoh of Egypt was different from the Greco-Roman custom.
And so, you see, this is all because of ultimately when we had a new king that arose that did not know Joseph. And so this was hundreds of years after Joseph. Barbara.
It wasn't that he didn't know Joseph as a person. He refused to acknowledge what he did
okay.
and who he was. It was not like I didn't know George Washington. And it wasn't that far later. Because they would have known Joseph. So Joseph had a reputation.
Yes, Joseph did have a reputation.
But it wasn't that he didn't know him. It was that he wouldn't acknowledge him and what he did.
Tammy.
But do we know exactly who this was? How many generations?
Well, we're thinking there's some thought that there was a completely different Egyptian dynasty, or different. If Egypt was if there was a turnover in rulership and in power, that's what the thinking would be. Tammy, did you have a thought?
I've had a number of thoughts, but I don't know if I want to share any of them.
Okay. All right. Well, when you do, let me know. Okay? And so, we see the fact of the... and so, we have the idea... the command that was given, and so we see that for a while the command was ignored. The command was disregarded for the most part by the Hebrews, and so we see here an example that Moses, his mother, nursed him up in his own house for 3 months until. He couldn't be concealed anymore. The crying and so forth could not be concealed anymore. And this is when we know that he was put in the ark and put in the river. And that's where Pharaoh's daughter found him and then nursed him up as her own son. As her own son. Tammy, you want to do 22, please?
What was Moses learned of the wisdom of the Egyptians, and what was he mighty with his words and deeds?
Okay, that's right. Yeah. All the wisdom of Egypt, and mighty in works and deeds. And so,
words,
thank you, words and deeds. And so after 40 years, we see that He visits his brethren. We know that Moses lived until the age of 120, and his life is broken up into three parts, 40 years, first part, 40 years, second part, 40 years, the third part. The first 40 years, he was raised up in Pharaoh's household as a son, as maybe even the very as an heir apparent or close to being in the royal line, if not a direct descendant of royal line, either second or third generation, being away from two or three different heartbeats, being away from ruling Egypt. Then the next 40 years of his life, we see him. Fleeing Egypt, being in the wilderness for 40 years. And then the last 40 years of his life, we see him with the children of Israel, leading them around the wilderness into the land. Ultimately, he doesn't go into the land of Canaan, but we're leading them around in the land of the wilderness. First 40 years, leading the sheep, physical sheep. The second 40 years, of the last 40 years, leading around the people. So that's... pick up with verse 24. Anna, you want to start with verse 24, please?
And see, one of them suffered wrong. He defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and spoke the Egyptian.
And Mrs. Grummer, 25.
What did one of Moses' brothers... Oh, read it?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And later on, I'll have a question about that verse.
Okay.
And the next day he showed himself unto them, and they strove, and would have set them one again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren, why do you wrong one to another?
All right, Faith.
But he who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away, said, who made you a ruler and a judge over us?
Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday?
Then Slade was not the same and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begot two sons.
And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush.
I don't know where we are.
Verse 31.
When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he grew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold.
Then said the Lord to him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. Anna, 24, please.
Who did Moses fight?
He smote the Egyptians. He went out to visit his people after 40 years. He saw this conflict that we're having with the Egyptian and one of the Hebrews was having with each other, and he smote the Egyptian. And shortly after that, he came and he saw two Hebrews fighting with each other, he tried to break them up. They didn't understand the fact that that God selected him to deliver them from their bondage.
Did you answer question 25 just now?
Yes, I did.
I made a comment about the beginning of the question. It says, what did one of Moses' brethren fail to misunderstand? First of all, according to the verse, it seems to be his brethren generally, not just one of them.
Okay.
And second of all, he should either fail to understand or misunderstand.
Yes, you're right. They're...
It looks like, what did they understand?
Okay. Yeah, but what they failed to understand, thank you for noticing that. Thank you. What they failed to understand, that God, by his hand, would deliver them. Phil, next question, please, number 26.
Who asked, sirs, ye our brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? Moses said that.
Yeah, that was Moses that said that. And so again, they asked the question the second time, well, who made thee a ruler and a judge or us? And again, that question was addressed to Moses. Jill, number 28, please.
To whom was the question asked, who made thee a ruler and judge over us? You know, was that Moab or Joseph? I don't know. I thought
she was Moses. They asked, the question was asked to Moses.
Yeah.
What did 28, Barbara, please?
What became of the Egyptian who was killed?
Mm-hmm. That's right. He was killed the previous day or so. And so when Moses knew that it was known that he killed the Egyptian, he fled. He went to Midian, and he stayed there in Midian. His wife gave birth to two sons. Barbara, number 30, please.
How many years passed before Moses saw the burning bush, and where did he see it? 40 years passed, and it was on Mount Sinai.
40 years. Now, again, this is the sermon that Stephen is giving to this council. Sermon that they should know. They should know the content of this. They should know their Jewish history. But he's reviewing this. He's building. There's a reason why he's doing this. He's giving some very important background information that's going to bring him right down to the very current events in their life. That's the Lord Jesus Christ and what actually happened to him and what they had a role in doing that happened to him. So that's why Stephen is doing this. He's giving a context of the gospel. He's giving a context of salvation. And so when he was there at the burning bush, he heard the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord. And Mount number 32, please.
What did Moses hear? And what did Moses do? He heard, I am the God of thy fathers, the God. I have to read the verse. I thought I could say, I am the God of thy fathers, and the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and God. Then Moses trembled, and he didn't know what to behold, what he was seeing, I guess.
And so Moses, you know, was standing on holy ground. That's why the Lord said, you know, take your shoes off your feet, the place where thou standest. Is holy ground. Let's pick up with verse 34. Tammy, we'll read verses 34 and following.
I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt.
And yeah, verse 35.
This Moses whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush.
What did he brought them out after that? He had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. And Mrs. Grummer, verse 3, verse 37, please. How about you, Jacob? Verse 37?
37.
Yes.
This is that Moses who said unto the children of Israel, prophet, shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, him shall ye hear.
And Faith, verse 38.
He who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, the one who received the living oracles to give to us.
To whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts return back again into Egypt.
Then let Aaron make his gods to go before us, for as for Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become him.
And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol and rejoiced in the works of their own hands.
Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets. O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to be slain beasts and sacrificed by the space of 40 years in the wilderness?
No. Tammy, question 34, please.
What did the man create here in sin? It's the protection of his people, the angels. He heard their groanings. And he sent Moses unto Egypt to deliver them.
So. And so we see the fact that God is in control of all things. We know that God told Abraham that his children would be in captivity, and in bondage for 400 years. And yet, we see here that finally, near the end of this 40-year period of time, that God comes to Moses. And God is the one that appears to Moses in the burning bush. And he gives them the promise of deliverance. And so, and the purpose for Moses was to be a ruler and a deliverer. This is by the hand of the angel. So it's not Moses' his own strength, but it's by the instrumentality of the hand of the angel of the Lord, God himself, that's going to give him the ability to have these children of Israel be extracted from this bondage in the land of Egypt. Anna, number 36, please.
1. What did Moses show the children of Israel, and 300 years of the children of Israel remained in the wilderness? 1. Signs and wonders. 2. 40 years.
Okay. Again, Stephen is giving a brief overview of Jewish history. Very important Jewish history here in his sermon. He's bringing them up to a very important point in their time to understand the fact of when God sent us the deliverer of the Lord Jesus Christ came, they were rejecting of him as well. And so, the prophet the Lord was going to raise up was Moses, in the context of when they were going to be delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. Verse 37. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, Who said, a prophet shall the Lord your God rise up?
Referring to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you. A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto your brethren, like unto me, that ye shall hear. Mrs. Grummer, verse 38, please.
Yes. What did Moses receive? The mighty oracles to give unto us. The mighty oracles?
Yes, the lively oracles. That's what he received. And sadly, once they were out of the land of Egypt, once they passed through the Red Sea, some of these elders of Israel, They wanted to turn back to Egypt. They wanted to go back to bondage again. How do you figure that out? But they wanted to. Faith number 40, please.
Okay. Saying to Aaron, make us gods to go before us. As for the sons who brought us out of the land, do not know what has become of
them. Okay, so who was asked to make the God's faith?
Okay.
Okay. And what did they think happened to Moses?
They said they didn't know what became of him.
They didn't know what became of him. That's right. Grandma.
I think this is one of the things in verse 18.
Yes.
Since he that was in the church in the wilderness, that the angels would speak to him on Mount Sinai, with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. And the word lively oracles, I like what it says, with them, vigorous, full of life, active, and three words are utterances of God that make this, it just, that's when he received the law there on the Mount Sinai.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the church means to call out one, I think, 3B. Assembly in the wilderness. That's our
baby thing. And so the children of Israel made this golden calf, and it was made of their own hands, and they, and then they began to do what with it? You know, they began to worship it. This is Jacob number 42, please.
What did God give the children of Israel? What did God give the children of Israel up to do it? What he gave them up to worship the Lord of heaven.
Okay, that's right. Let's begin with reading verse 43. Bill, you start with verse 43, please.
Yeah, you look up the tabernacle of Moloch, and the star of your gods, Remphan, figures which you made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon.
Our fathers got the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, and he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen.
Which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers into the days of David.
Who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob.
But Solomon built him a house.
Oh, I'm sorry. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made of hands, as saith the prophet.
What is heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Mrs. Grummer, verse 50, please.
What? What shall I have God's hand made? Everything. Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. Has not my hand made all these things?
In faith, read verse 51, please. And Jacob, go ahead and read verse 52, please.
Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of you have, of whom you have been now.
And so we see here in where the children of Israel began to worship false gods, you know, Moloch, Remphan, and God eventually carried them to Babylon. So we're going past the exiting the captivity, the bondage in Egypt. We see now a time period when they're going into the Babylonian captivity. Billy wanted do question 44, please.
What did the fathers have in the wilderness? The tabernacle of wilderness, of witness.
The tabernacle of witness. and when they came into the land of Canaan, God was the one that drove out the Gentiles, the Canaanites, all those nations that dwelt there in that, the promised land. God drove them out. God's the one that drove them out. They couldn't do it in their own strength, but they did it in the strength of the Lord. And Jill, number 46, please.
Jacob
who found favor before God? David?
So David found favor before God, and so we see the progression of Stephen's sermon is going now to David the king, and we see here we're reminded that, again, that Solomon built the Lord a house. He didn't want David to build a house because he was a man of war, a man after God's own heart. But Solomon, it was the only one that actually completed and built the temple. David may have assembled some of all the raw materials for the temple, but Solomon is the one that put them together and finished that that particular work. Number 48, Barbara, please.
Where does the Most High not dwell? Not in temples made with hands.
Doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. And we see heaven is God's throne, earth is His footstool. And these are all things that these men on this council should know. But Stephen here is just reminding them of that, and trying to make a very nothing he said here disagrees with what the Old Testament scripture is saying. Barbara.
I find it interesting that he used the name Kai, El Elyon, that's the Gentile name for God.
Okay.
Ruler of over everything.
What word did he
use? 48, the Most High. El Elyon.
50, Mom, go over verse 50.
50?
Yes.
Hath not my hand made all these things?
All things, that's right.
So when we want to, so what do we need the verse to answer the question, or we want him to answer the question, we need the verse.
We don't exactly know what we're doing.
And so we see here that religious leaders were resisting the Holy Ghost. They were resisting the leading, the directing, the prodding of God, the Holy Spirit. Not only from one particular point, but throughout all different points of their history. And even the problem we have today, resisting the Holy Ghost. So, Bill.
It seems that with at least some of the Jewish people that I've met, that they still don't understand the concept that they would become the temple of the Holy Spirit. They think of temples itself that they go to whenever they go as being the home of God. Even some Christians are told, well, this is the house of God.
Mm-hmm.
When you go there, and it's actually the human body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And people can't seem to get that into their heads.
Mm-hmm. That's right. No, they can't, can they? Family, number 52, please.
Who did the fathers persecute? The prophets.
They persecuted the prophets. Again, this is part of history. They have, and then we have the prophet of all prophets, the Lord Jesus Christ, come. They did the same thing. They rejected him, and so forth. They didn't want to hear. They didn't want to hear what the prophets had to say. And we have the Son of God Himself coming in flesh. And they don't want to hear what He had to say either. And they don't want to hear what Stephen had to say. And even today, people that are lost, people that are dead in Christ, but even the children of Abraham today, still don't want to hear what the prophets are saying. And they're not just not them. But even people that are not children of Abraham today, they still don't want to hear what the prophets have to say. Anna, let's pick up with verse 53, please.
Okay. Who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it?
And Mrs. Grummer, please read verse 54. Go ahead.
I thought it was very interesting about the disposition of angels.
We're reading.
Okay. Sorry.
When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed their teeth there on him with their teeth.
But he being full of the Holy Ghost, looking steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God.
All right, Faith, please read verse 56.
And said, look, I see the heaven. heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of
God. Nope.
Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord.
They cast him out of the city, stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose hand was full.
And they stoned Stephen as he was calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.
And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he said this, he fell asleep.
All right, so you had a comment about verse 53, did you?
I did.
What's your comment?
Well, I was interested when we were studying, when I studied at home, who had received the law by the disposition of angels. That the law, that the way I took it, the law that Moses received on Mount Sinai, angels must have been there and helped him.
Yeah, but it says by the disposition of angels.
I was both thrilled.
It's interesting, that. Yes. Mm-hmm. And they failed to keep the law.
They didn't keep it. But they, I didn't ever remember hearing about angels on Mount Sinai with Moses.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, that's what it says here in verse 53.
I think I remember a few sermons like that when I read it again, but I thought it was exciting.
Tammy, for question 53, please. 54, rather.
How did the council respond to the words of Stephen? They were convicted of such cutting hearts, and they naturally changed their hearts.
Okay, now so you notice here these two things. Stephen saw the glory of God, and he also saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Now the council, they were gnashing their teeth at him because they didn't like what he was saying. This is even before this. Now, Anna, question 56, please.
Where did Stephen see the Son of Man standing? At the right hand of God.
At the right hand of God. And so, we see the council doing three things. They cried out, they stopped their ears, and they ran upon him. They did these three things. Mrs. Grummer, question 58, please.
What three additional things did the council do? They cast him out of the city, they stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their cloths and
fell asleep. And so Stephen asked the Lord, he says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And Faith, question number 6, please. 60, please. Lay not their sins to their charge.
Yeah.
His last words. That's right. Barbara, go ahead.
To go back to where they stoned him, they did not have the permission of the Roman proconsul to do this. They had the right to try him, but they had to take their decision to the consul before they could actually execute. The Romans would allow them to execute. They could do that. But they couldn't do that until. So this was a mob lynching.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It was. Even if they had the authority of the council, it still would have been.
Well, it would have been illegal. Then.
It would have been legal. It's legal. Okay, so.
Yes.
That's right. Jacob, question 61, please.
In what chapter of Acts
did
you mention?
Chapter 1, that's right. Bill. 62, please. Question 62.
In what chapter of Acts was Joel's prophecy partially fulfilled? That was in chapter 2, verses 16 to 21.
In chapter 2, that's right. Joel, 63, please.
In what chapter of Acts was the lame man healed? Chapter 3.
In chapter 3. And Barbara, 64.
Where in the book of Acts did Peter and John say, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard? Chapter 4.
Chapter 4, verse 20. Mom, verse 65.
In what chapter were Ananias and Sapphira judged? Acts 5.
Acts 5. Tammy, number 66.
Where in the book of Acts is the record of 7 deacons being selected? Acts chapter 6, verses 3 and 7.
And Anna, question 67.
Sorry. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked steadfastly up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God.
Mrs. Grummer, question 68.
What I noticed here was that how the Lord kept him alive long enough for him to go from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to the patriarchs, Joseph to Moses to David. I mean, he went through the whole thing and more before he got stoned.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. How about you, Faith? Question 68.
Did you ask me something
else? Yes, what do you get for question 68? Oh, question 68, Faith, is what are some key facts you have observed about Stephen's sermon? Some key facts you've observed about Stephen's sermon.
Verse 58?
No, my question that I have for you, his entire sermon from the verse 1 to verse 60, what are some key facts you've observed from the sermon? Something that really stands out to you. That's right. And how about you, Jacob?
Yes, sir. In 22:20, and when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of him and slew him. It says here in verse 60,
W.
Okay, Saul wasn't yet converted.
No, he wasn't.
There were three key points that I thought. The overview of the law that Stephen had presented to all of them. He summarized them, the law, and their disobedience of the law. That was the reason for him giving the overview of the law. And then most important, the ignorance of grace.
Mm-hmm. That's right. How about you, Jill? 68.
Well, I just didn't want to hear what he had to say, and they just had their full skulls and have you, but as a result, they cried out, and they ran upon him, and they stoned him. They just didn't care. They just wanted to do what they wanted to do in their own rebellious hearts and rebellion.
That's right. Barbara, how about you?
Daniel, God reviewed this prophecy.
Yes.
God rules in the affairs of men.
Mm-hmm. Give it to him, sure he will. 68, Mom.
Stephen was bold, he was unafraid, and he was truthful. He reviewed the history of Israel, the nation, and he thought his hearers would understand what he was saying, but they wouldn't understand. But then he was comforted, perhaps even at the end of his life there, that the people did not understand Moses either. So how would you expect them to understand Stephen?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
How about you, Sammy?
Well, it's interesting how at the beginning he was going through Jewish history and law, things that were very familiar, commonplace, that it was easy for them to hear and to listen to. But then when he said, ye do always resist, when he pointed out or said, that's when they became hostile, and ready to stone them at that point. Although they were ready to stone them before, but it's interesting when he was talking about their history, they let him talk all, all that he wanted to, and all the Lord wanted him to. So.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as he pointed out their sin, they didn't want anything to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what people are today.
That's right. How about you, Al? 68.
So, a history lesson was required to explain why Christ came. And then, like, it was interesting because Moses was scorned at first, but they accepted him later.
Yes.
And it's like how Christ, when he was here on earth, they scorned him, but one day they will receive him.
Mm-hmm.
And Israel, you see how Israel kept turning away from the Lord?
Yes.
And I guess this has been mentioned before, but like as, well, so, well, maybe not quite, but so the father slew the prophets in verse 52, and then the children go and do the same thing to Stephen,
mm-hmm.
who was he was a prophet in a sense of foretelling.
Mm-hmm.
So those are my thoughts.
Oh, thank you. Any more thoughts on chapter 7? Kind of a lengthy chapter, but still it's a sermon of Stephen. A very, you know, very, very well-known part of the New Testament as far as what happened to Stephen. Any more thoughts anyone has about chapter 7? Bill, would you please close in prayer?
Father in heaven, we thank you for these words that you have given us today. These words in Acts chapter 7 that remind us not only did many of the Jewish people forget the Torah and not obey them, were ignorant of them, but we did them ourselves, not only of the Torah, but even of the New Testament. Sometimes we go about things in our day-to-day activities where we forget. And we sin. We forget very easily a lot of things. That's why we must read every day. We must study the words in the Bible to stay close. If we don't do this, then we will stray. And we will do all kinds of things which are wrong in the eyes of the Lord. We thank you for giving us this Bible, and we thank you for all the teachings, and we thank you for providing the church, which gives us the correct teachings of the Bible, faithful teachings of the Bible, from pastors who believe the Bible. This is becoming very scarce around the country, and we can take this for granted, or we can be thankful every day for everything that you do for us, and that I choose to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Stay